We want to extend a hearty welcome to everyone, especially our extended family and friends who have joined us this morning to remember and honor those who have passed away throughout this last year. As the Advent season approaches, there are many additional events taking place over the coming weeks. This includes our first Advent service next week, with communion, followed by Advent FOSPA, which is a light lunch, which will be happening down in the gym. I do want to note as well, this year we're going to be doing something a little bit different for FOSPA. We're asking that people can bring in any desserts and fruit, but we're going to be ordering in pizza for everybody with a free will offering for that pizza. So it'll be a time with food, games, and music. So everyone, please, you're welcome to come for that. A couple other announcements and corrections in the bulletin. There's a change of email address for John and Ursula Dirksen. There was an error in that, so just scratch that out. It's the wrong email address. I'd also like to bring your attention to the upcoming Seniors Christmas Banquet at 5 p.m. Everyone is invited to that as well. What did I say?
You just said at 5 p.m.
Oh, sorry, on Tuesday, yes. She controls my calendar as well, make sure I'm always on time, because otherwise it would be a mess. I'd also like to note, one more correction in the bulletin. The worship committee does not meet this Tuesday, as stated in the week at a glance, so that's a change to the worship committee. One last thing, Pastor Tim is away this week, and he wished to acknowledge that we'll be taking the week off from the open mic sharing of our joys and concerns as well, because he is away spending the American Thanksgiving with the American half of his family.
Please join us for the call to worship. We will be reading from Psalm 100, and you can follow along in your pew Bibles if you wish. It's a psalm for giving grateful praise. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Please bow with us for prayer. Heavenly Father, we rejoice in your promise of love, joy, and peace. But there are days when our hearts are heavy. Remind us this morning you are with us in our sorrows and in our joys. You are our refuge and strength, O God, an ever-present help in time of trouble. Be with us as we prepare to worship you. In Jesus' name, amen. And we'll continue in worship in song with our worship team. You're able. seated. And it's now time for the children's story, if they'd like to come join us up at the front.
Again, good morning.
There we go.
We're good. I have a little bit of a scratchy throat today, but I took a test, and I'm okay. But I'm gonna. If you come closer, we'll put my mask back on. But while you're nice and far away, I can smile at you and tell you how good it is to see all of you. You know, I am so thankful for all of you. I'm thankful for your parents for bringing you to Sunday school and to church. And I just thought, how do I express this gratitude? I can't think of anything better than a snack. What do you think? Yeah, Callan says it's good. All right, so here, I brought it. Uh-oh, I think we might have a little bit of a problem here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. All right, I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 crackers and 1, 2 Smarties. Uh-oh. 5 crackers, 2 Smarties is not going to... That's not even one thing per person. Should I try cutting them up and seeing, share them? Callan says, yes. Might be a little tough with a Smartie, right? Do you know, this reminds me of a Bible story. Does it remind you of a Bible story, too? Yeah. In the time when Jesus was with us here on earth, he was doing so much preaching and teaching. He was going everywhere. He was telling people the good news. And one day, he just needed to chill out. He was feeling a little bit tired. And he went to a place where he thought maybe he could be alone. And oh my goodness, guess what happened? 5,000 people came and followed him up there. And he said, uh-oh. Well, you know what? They're here. They want to hear the good word. I'm going to share it with them. And then people started saying, the disciples said, Jesus, they're really, really hungry. And he said, well, gather all the food and tell us what you have. And they pretty much had 5 crackers and 2 Smarties, except it was 5 loaves and 2 fishes for 5,000 people. Now, we might be able to break these crackers into pieces. It wouldn't be very good. But could you imagine trying to feed 5,000 people with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish? Impossible, right? But what we learn, they didn't have to split it. What happened? That's right. You're right. You remember the story. Jesus kept saying, just hand it out. Hand it out to everybody. Give them what they need. And more kept filling the basket, and more kept filling, and more kept filling. And it was an unbelievable, awesome miracle. Jesus can do anything, right? And you know, it makes me think that story, which is today's Bible story, does make us think, well, what does that have to do with us today? I'm like, I can't turn 5 crackers and 2 Smarties into a big enough snack for all of you. But we can learn that if we give what we have to God, he will take it and he'll bless it and he'll do more with it than we could ever imagine. So how many of you, every once in a while, bring a little bit of money for the Sunday school collection? Or Vacation Bible Camp when we do our offering there? Or on Sundays when you're here at church, your parents put an envelope in or do auto debit or whatever. Lots of different ways, right, to give. Or give canned goods to community care. Or all those different ways that we can make a difference. Even though we might not have very much, it's all something awesome when it goes into God's hands. So let's pray about that. Dear God, just as Jesus used the lunch of a small boy to feed more than 5,000 people, we'll pray that you'll use the boys and girls here today to bless everyone they meet each day. Amen. All right, you can come up and see me. I actually do have enough to share. You can take one. You're welcome.
You may remain seated as we sing Nothing Is Lost on the Breath of God.
I was joking earlier about my wife keeping me on track with my calendar, and sure enough, as evidence, I did forget one important announcement that I was supposed to make earlier, and that is we're also welcoming Marty Meisner here to us with Open Arms Mission, who's going to be delivering the sermon today. So welcome, Marty, and we hope everyone will have a nice chance to take in your message and say hi following the service. We're now entering our Eternity Sunday celebration, remembering the ones who have been called home to God over this past year. This year, what we're going to ask is, as we're going to read off the names and then go through a liturgy of remembrance, as I read off the names and family, if you're able and you would like to, you can please stand up during that period of time. We do have carnations here at the front as a way to remember those who have passed on in this past year. And at the end of the service, the deacons will be taking these out into the foyer, and we ask that you would be able to then collect the carnation in remembrance of your loved ones at that time. Sweet. Abram Weeb, father to Holly and Bob, father-in-law to Lori and Margaret and Karen, grandfather to many grandchildren and great-grandchildren, brother to Ann and Kathy and Bill, George and Jake Weeb, and stepfather to Shirley and Art, Darlene and Mike, Reynold and Edith, and Butch and Edith. You're right. I had the sheet on the back. I was joking with Ed this morning about Murphy's Law, and something would go wrong, and I checked, and we still did it. My apologies. So our first person is Walter Campen, husband to Ellie, son of Ludmilla, brother to Elizabeth and Les Fletcher, brother-in-law to Irene Giesbrecht and Herb Lepp. Katerina Dick, wife of the late Franz Dick, mama to Peter and Annie Dick and Marlene and David Chubb, oma to Marlies and Virgil, Katrina and Aaron, Miranda and Jeremy, Allison and Brian and Christina. Gross oma to Jace, Kierce, Jude, Lyra, Vada, Layla, and Coulter, and sister to Helen Harder. Harry Wheeler, husband to Erica, father to daughter Maria and Andre Kemp and Dana and the late Andrew Wheeler, grandfather to Eric, Adam, and Daniel, Ryan, and great-grandfather to Lillian, Harrison, and Josephine. Helen Lechtman. Helen is the mother of Richard and Kathy and the late Douglas Lechtman. Nana to Sarah and Jacob Horton, Brian and Brittany, and Jeremy and Kaylee. Great-grandmother to Haley, Graham, Wyatt, Nora, and Emmett. And the sister-in-law to Jesse Enns. Abram Weeb. Abram's the father of Holly and Bob, the father-in-law to Lori and Margaret, and Karen, and the grandfather to many grandchildren and great-grandchildren, brother to Ann and Kathy, and Bill George and Jake Weeb, the stepfather to Shirley, Art, Darlene and Mike, Reynold and Edith, and Butch and Edith. Margaret Gertson, the mother to John and Mary, Edward and Carolyn, Anthony and Jacqueline, Catherine and Ken, grandmother to Jeff, Rebecca, Ben, Luke, Aaron, Francis, Adrian, and Dana, and her great-grandchild is Everly. Helene Peters, the mother of Mary Hartley, Hilda and Anton Sawatsky, Anita and Mike Juhas, Linda Gabriel, and John and Debbie Peters, oma to 11 grandchildren and 6 great-grandchildren. Katerina Bergen is the sister-in-law of Jacob Bergen. Herbert Jake Reimer is the husband to Kathy, father to Ed and Marion and Jeff Friesen, opa to Nicholas, Aaron, Emily, and Tommy, and the brother to Eric and Ann Reimer. Oleg Mateen is the son of Anna Matina. Jacob Welk. His children are Wanda, Judy, and Terry, Nick, Daniel, and Taylor, Michael and Eva. He's the grandfather to many grandchildren, and the special children of the heart are Herman and Carol Reimer and Rose and Dan Klippenstein. The siblings are Marlise and Eric Berg, Helen and Jake Jansen, Gertrude Buckert, sister-in-law of Viola Friesen, Agatha Fuchs, and Evelyn Fuchs. Pauline Harris. The children are Andrew and Beverly, Candy and Paul Adams, Randall and Monique. And she's the grandmother to many grandchildren and great-grandchildren. Ellie Munch. She's the wife of Walter Munch, the mother of Dorothea and Roland, grandmother of Aaron and Trina, Stephanie and Joseph and Jeremy, the great-grandmother of Gabriel and Malcolm. Martha Weeb. Her children are Corrine and Barry, Eleanor and Pete, Randy and Jerry, and the daughter-in-laws Ingrid and Victoria, sister of Hertha Suskin and grandmother to many. Marion McMullen. Her children are Cheryl, David and Donna, Gary and Wendy, Steve and Marlene, Douglas, Daryl and Lori, Linda and Chris, the grandmother to many great-grandchildren and great-grandchildren, and her siblings are Marvin and Myrna. Helen Coop. Helen's children are Raymond and Sharon Coop, Catherine and Joe Ferretti, Norman and Jana Coop, and grandmother to many grandchildren and great-grandchildren. Henry Harder. The children are Marion and Ed Enns, Ursula and Peter Krugel, and her grandchildren are Tanya and Jesse Vidal, Aaron and Ashley Enns, Ryan and Jesse Krugel, Julie Enns, and Victoria and Shane Wall. And his great-grandchildren are Levi, Mason, Jace, Veronica, Sierra, and Rylan. Gertrude Workington, the mother to Arthur and Christina, and grandmother to many. Peter and Lenny Bergen. Their married couple, Peter and Lenny, died within 17 days of each other, and Peter is the brother of Jacob Bergen. Jutta Wagner. Her children are John and Don, Peter and Hildy, Marlene and Bob Reitiger, and is the grandmother of many grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and 4 great-great-grandchildren. William Bill Secord. His wife is Ingrid, and his children are Sean and Valerie, Brian and Trish, Holly and Brian. He's the grandfather to many grandchildren. Bill's sister-in-law is Linda with Walt Clausen, and his sister-in-law, Victoria DeFabio, and mother-in-law, Hertha Suskin. Hans Runge. Hans' wife is Helga, and his children are Veronica and June Hong and Krista. His stepchildren are Elizabeth, Tom, and Joe. His grandchildren are Taylor and Erica, Kayla, William, and Sophia. The great-granddaughter is Alexandria, and he's the brother to Manfred and Ruth. Fred Berg, his wife of Selma Berg. His children are Terry and Kathy, Glenn Berg, and Gail and Mike. The grandchildren are Justin, Zachary, Anna Maria, Victoria, and Clayton. And he's missed by Eric and Marlise Berg, Laura Berg, and Erica Fast. Alice Weeb, the wife of George Weeb and the sister-in-law to Jake Weeb. Franz Dick, husband of the late Katerina Dick. His children are Peter and Annie Dick and Marlene and David Chubb, the grandfather to many grandchildren and great-grandchildren, an uncle to many nieces and nephews. You'll find the Litany of Remembrance printed in the bulletin. It asks that you follow along in the section identified for the people, following which we'll have a short prayer with a minute for silent prayer in remembrance of those who have passed away, And I'd ask that you would join me in closing out with the Lord's Prayer. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die." God, we thank you for the gifts of love and the sharing of faith with those whom we have named before you. As we remember their journey here on earth, help us to entrust them to your eternal care. God watches over us and longs for our healing and grieves with us in our pain of loss. When we miss our loved ones most, help us to stay close to Jesus, who guides us through this life. And when we lose sight of Jesus, send us your Holy Spirit to help us find our way until we meet again. May God himself, the God of peace, make you holy and whole. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be fit and ready for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please bow with me in prayer. Loving God, we pray that you would be with us in this time of remembrance as we think about those who brought joy and love to our lives, who have now been entrusted to your care. We pray that you would be with us as you remember, as we individually remember each of them. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who pass us. I'd now like to invite Diane Lepp to come forward for our scripture reading.
Good morning. Our scripture reading this morning is found on page 1520, page 1520 in your pew Bibles, from Matthew chapter 14, verses 13 to 21. Jesus feeds the 5,000. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." "We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. "Bring them here to me," he said. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children.
Well, good morning, everyone. First of all, as I begin my time with you today, I pray God will continue to bless and keep those that are remembering loved ones that have passed on. I love this piece within our liturgies of the year, right, where we take time to remember those that have passed away, but also to seek comfort, knowing that God is truly with us and that he is comforting us as we are mourning, and that in our quiet moments, as it said in the liturgy, I hope and pray that God will draw near to all of you. As Kurt said, my name is Marty. I have many connections to this church, and I'm glad to be here. I'm very thankful that I've been invited to speak and share with you something that God has laid upon my heart. Besides working for Open Arms Mission, I'm a father of two wonderful boys, Jack and Scott. They are the love of my life, the light in my life, but they are also the reason why I have gray hair coming, and I've lost all of mine on top. Children are truly a blessing. But as Kurt mentioned, I work with Open Arms Mission. It's a food bank in Welland. I was in ministry, pastoral ministry, for probably 10 years or so-ish. And then I transitioned into parachurch ministry, still doing God's work, but a little bit more hands-on. Rather than forming disciples, I am blessing people in the community as God would have us do. But as you can imagine, I'm sure you've heard in the news, food banks are experiencing an unprecedented rise in demand. Traditionally, when I began there, it was more or less people that were on fixed incomes, whether that be welfare, disability, seniors that are living on a pension. This would have been probably 90% of the people that we served. Now, it's much different. We're seeing people that are working, single parents, people that are having to work two or three jobs just to make ends meet. We all see it as we go to the grocery store. When I went to a grocery store and saw that a cucumber was now $2.15, I knew that prices were going up. Prices are rising, and because of this, people are feeling very disoriented. They're feeling like they're in crisis. And, just like our human condition, when crisis ensues, we have choices to make, right? Sometimes we lean into God, sometimes we lean into ourselves. This past week, this crisis was seen. This crisis was seen. We are now serving probably, I would say close to 70 people a day, which means by the end of the year we'll serve about 20,000 people just through the mission that I work with in Welland. But I was in the mission. We were serving people like always, and then that wonderful time came called lunch. There was still a lineup out the door for people to receive food. And my co-worker, Josh, went out and announced to everyone that it was lunchtime and we would reopen in about an hour. Well, someone in the line really didn't like that answer. They didn't like being told that they had now already been waited. They've already waited for about half an hour, and now they're going to have to wait for another hour before they received the food that they were coming for. And this person first voiced that it was unfair that they were closing. Why couldn't they just serve the rest of the people in the line and then close? And the person replied, well, if we serve you, there's going to be another 10 more by the time we're done. We'll never get lunch. Then this person proceeded to start yelling nice comments to this coworker, telling them how awful a person he was. Of course, at this point, he really didn't love Jesus, right? Because he wasn't serving them food. He definitely wasn't a Christian. And this organization was definitely not a Christian organization anymore. You can see how the scene went. It began to escalate and escalate and escalate until the door was shut, the staff had lunch, and the people were served once again. Crisis brings out the best in people. It brings to the surface the emotions that we are all holding. Sometimes these emotions aren't helpful. Sometimes they're sinful. But there's always that opportunity to reorient our eyes in times of trouble towards our Heavenly Father. We see this happen in the text here today. I love how it begins when Jesus had heard about it. What had Jesus heard about? He had just heard that John the Baptist had been killed. Right? And he's probably thinking within his own heart, wow, not only am I mourning the loss of my cousin, but that could be me next. If they're going to kill John the Baptist, they're definitely going to be after me. Jesus is starting to feel crisis, and what does he do? He wants to have some time alone. He wants to get away to be able to gather himself, to be able to get himself together as he continues this wonderful ministry that he's doing. But what happens? The crowd see him going over there and they pursue him. And they pursue him to this desolate place. And as the little child here commented, she told the whole story. I thought, hey, she could preach my message and we could all be done, right? But as we find out, Jesus was doing what he was doing. He was healing. He was teaching. He was actually showing people what the good news was all about. Whole nother sermon. I believe that the good news is much more than just being saved from our sins. That's just one facet of the good news. I believe, as I work at the mission, that the good news is also giving people food and showing them God's love right here and right now. The gospel is bigger than just being forgiven of our sins. It's knowing that Jesus is here, that he is King, and that he will never leave us or forsake us. Much more than sins. But as we see, Jesus has went away to this secluded place, and now the people follow. And it says, when evening came, the disciples approached him and said, this place is deserted and it is already late. Send the crowds away so that they can get food in the village themselves. I hear a similar refrain when people come to about the food bank. You know, people will say, hey, you know what? Why can't they just buy their own food? You know, they've got a job. They've got social assistance. Maybe if they just spent their money more wisely. Right? That's sometimes our mentality. Right? Especially when we've grown up with a certain worldview. We act like the disciples where we say, hey, you know what? These people need to fend for themselves. Figure it out. I work hard for my own money. They need to figure out what they're doing themselves. But I wonder if that's the heart that God wants us to have. When we see our brothers and sisters suffering, do we tell them to go and, you know, figure it out themselves? Or do we draw closer to them, provide relief, provide comfort, supportive hug? But Jesus tells the disciples, no, don't worry. They don't need to go away. You can give them something to eat. And then the disciples, just like us all, just like so many humans, say, well, we only have five loaves of bread and we only have two fish. How in the world are we ever going to feed these people? We serve a miraculous God. Sometimes we are so short-sighted when we see things from our pragmatic senses. We only have the five loaves of bread. We only have the two fish. And we forget that we serve a God that is so powerful, so miraculous. And each and every day as I work at the food bank, I see God's power at work. For the last year, the mission has only had 2 weeks or less of food. 2 weeks. Enough to feed probably 200 or so, 300 or so families. But you know what happens each and every week? God provides. Someone provides a donation. Someone gives us a tractor trailer of lettuce. Someone, a farmer that's a local farmer, gives us a whole bunch of peaches. We have never, ever had to go without. I remember talking with a local greenhouse owner. And my boss, who's above me, was lamenting the fact that we didn't have enough food. Oh, we only have so much on our shelves. Oh, we only have this to give out. Maybe it was a ploy to get this person to give us more money or to give us some food. But the greenhouse owner said something very apt. He said, Marty, we don't need to worry about these things. God provides for the lilies of the valley. He provides for the birds and the bees. And guess what? He is going to provide for you and for me. And that reframing, that looking at things a different way, is what I truly believe that God wants us to do in crisis. As we look on in the text, it says, bring them here to me, he said. Then he commanded the crowds to sit down, and he took the five loaves and the two fish and looked up to heaven and blessed them. He broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples. What act did Jesus just do right there that we do, well, within the Mennonite church, a little less frequent than other traditions? Jesus just went through the communion liturgy, right? He gathered it. He looked up to heaven. He gave thanks for what he had been given, and then he gave it out. Jesus did a Eucharistic movement as he went into this time of crisis. Rather than sitting there and looking at only what he had in front of him, he acknowledged what he had, he gave thanks for what he had, and then he gave it out freely. He didn't say to the people, well, you know what, if you're a follower of me, you're going to get the food. Well, if you're Jewish and you're a follower of me, I'll give you some food. Jesus gave the stuff out freely. He didn't ask where they were from. He didn't ask how much money they were making. He didn't ask any questions. And you see this throughout the repetition of the story. And in Luke as well, he doesn't ask anything. He graciously and generously gives out what he had. And we see what happens. We know what happens. The little girl here already told us. There was still stuff left over to give away. In this life, we're always going to have troubles. When we're young, we're going to have troubles at school. When we're older, we're going to have troubles with children and family and feeling the press, feeling spread thin. And as we grow more mature and wise, there's going to be other things that fall into our plate. Our health. The worrying about what could have been and what should have been. All of these things create crisis in our lives. And it's easy for us, it's very easy for us, to act like the woman in line and start laying blame, using nasty words, and thinking about it more about how we have lost out. It's easy to revert to our sinful natures and start to claw back at this world and the people around us. I think God in this text is also challenging us to be thankful, to be able to look at the blessings that Jesus and our Father in heaven have given us, whether it be our family, whether it be food on our table, whether it be a roof over our heads. God wants us to orient our eyes towards Him and give thanks. And I believe that part of this rhythm, if we're able to do this, not only are we going to be able to see the blessings much more clearly, I believe that we will continue to see how God is providing for us, providing for our health, providing for our family, providing for our hearts. We're living in a world right now that's filled with chaos, filled with crisis. As I work each and every day, I see crisis. As I look on the news and see the bloodshed, the famine, the disaster. I see crisis. And I believe that God is calling us in all of this distress to look to Him, to know that He has everything in control, that He loves us so much. He loves us so much, and He will continue to provide for us. And as we look to God, we will be able to see our blessings. We will be able to be comforted by what He has given us. And ultimately, one day, someday, we will be like our brothers and sisters that have passed away. We will be in glory, where there is no pain, where there is no suffering, only happiness. I wonder what that's going to look like. At times, we can easily act like the woman in line, feeling like we've been ripped off, upset. I pray that as we enter this week, as we go into the next few days, that we will continue to think differently, to be thankful for what God has given. My grandma is living in the Vineland home right now. She is one of the people that most significantly influenced my faith. And the way that she influenced my faith was by teaching me simple songs and praying with me. When my mom would be working shift work, my grandmother would be babysitting me. And the one song that my grandma taught me, I'm sure we all know it, "Count our blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done." We have so many blessings to be thankful for. Let's continue to fix our eyes on Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, once again, I give thanks for my brothers and sisters who call St. Catherine's United Mennonite Church home. I give thanks for them because they are my brothers. And they are my sisters because of you. I pray that as we go through this week, even in the coming months, that as crisis ensues in our own life, whether it be our own health, whether it be stresses in our families or our finances, that you will help us to look to you, to take whatever we have, to hold it up just like Jesus did, give thanks for what we have been given, and then be generous with whatever we have. Lord, it's hard to do this, but I pray through your Spirit that you will help us to do this better, to follow in your footsteps more faithfully, to fix our eyes on you. Lord, may you continue to bless and keep us, your children. We pray this in your mighty name. Amen. In John 20, 21, there was another crisis. Jesus had died and his disciples had gathered in this upper room, wondering if they were going to be next. And Jesus meets them in this spot. And he says, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." And with this, he breathed on them and gave them the Holy Spirit. Christ is sending you once again this week into this world to be his light and his presence. And I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that he has equipped you to do this through his Holy Spirit. May you go in his grace, his blessing, and the power of his Spirit this week. Amen.